Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. The Gospel of Mark is what we call an apocalyptic gospel. It was written for the purpose of revealing the good news of the gospel to us. Apocalyptic, of course, is one of those religious churchy words that refers to something mysterious or hidden that is being revealed. So the Gospel of Mark is a gospel of revelation to us. In Mark's case, what is being revealed is the identity of Jesus as Messiah, as God's royal son, as a prophetic servant, and a spirit-led preacher. Jesus announces that God's time has arrived, the appropriate time, God's appointed time, Kairos time, and Jesus has been sent to announce that God's kingdom has come near. Today's text has just skipped over an important part of the narrative, so important that I almost put it into the reading today, but we'll get to that part of the gospel in a couple of weeks at the beginning of the Lent, and I don't want to take anything away from Netsy's preaching, so we will see Jesus then again, and we'll see Jesus in the wilderness. This, incidentally, is a mountain that overlooks the Sea of Galilee by Tiberias. Here in Mark, it is a time when the Spirit compels Jesus to go into the wilderness, to face a time of trial with Satan. Mark talks about it as a time of trial, using the same word in the Greek as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, save us from the time of trial. The desert time of trial is part of the apocalyptic ambiance, if you will, the hidden being revealed. You see, Jesus is not just uncomfortable in the desert. He is actually contending with the arch-opponent Satan. And Satan is the icon for the cosmic principalities and powers that oppose God's good news. Jesus is the cosmic Christ who comes to announce that his contentions with the evil one have defeated that evil one, and he has not succumbed to the time of trial. That trial complete, Jesus now comes into Galilee, just after John is arrested by the political tyrant Herod, who is another metaphor of evil in this text. This time, an evil of political principalities and powers, which are still operative in our world even today. The arrest of John the Baptizer is also a forewarning of the sort of opposition that Jesus will face as well. In fact, it is also a forewarning to us as well that if we are true to the good news of the gospel, we too will face harassment, judgmentalism, and the same sorts of things that have troubled Christians all throughout history. We may be incensed by the reports we hear of Christians being persecuted and martyred for their faith in Christ, but we should not be surprised. When people follow Jesus, with that following comes the cross as well. Yet, following Jesus, particularly in Mark here, is not a choice we make. Jesus comes from the desert into Galilee, going from one cosmic stage to another. If you look at a map of Israel and Jordan today, you won't see the Sea of Galilee on the map. You'll see it labeled a lake, Lake Kinneret. Galilee is a large lake, but not anything nearly so large as its closest cousin, the Mediterranean. In fact, it's not even as large as the Dead Sea, not to mention the Black Sea. For sea in this gospel reminds us that Jesus is moving from one cosmic stage to another cosmic arena, the stage of the wilderness to the arena of the sea. The sea is reminiscent of the creation, the waters of chaos that abounded there. Mark's apocalyptic geography reveals to us that God's reign extends beyond the boundaries of the finite world in which we live. So it makes little sense to us when we see what happens next. We are used to taking time to make decisions of vocation. Some of us go all the way through college and we get to the end and we're still not quite sure what we want to do. But here in Mark, Jesus says, follow me, and they immediately, and that's one of Mark's favorite words, they immediately leave their nets and follow. Jesus puts it in a promise, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. The call to the disciples is a dramatic call that pries the fisher folk loose from their previous vocations and gives them a new one in the royal rule of God. Their new vocation is to be disciples of the one who announces that the reign of God has already come near. We are used to people talking about deciding to believe in God, but today's gospel text does not allow for that. The disciples are not the decision makers here in this call narrative, but rather all the action is on the part of Jesus. He comes into their lakeside country. He walks up to their fishing boat. He issues the invitation. It is a clarion call to discipleship, and it is the kairos moment of the coming of the reign of God which moves them to respond by dropping their nets, and in the case of the sons of Zebedee, leaving their father to fish with hired men. They really have no choice in the matter. The disciples understand the call as the right moment for their future, not from their own internal resources, but from the moving of God's Spirit through Jesus to bring the kingdom of God into their midst. And that is how it works with us, too. Even when we seek out God, we discover that it has been God all along who has been seeking us out and bringing us to the right places at the right times. Or just being there already has happened when we realize that the kingdom of God has come near to us right where we are without our searching for it. So often we go on a quest to find God, yet it is the consistent work of God seeking us out which is operative in our lives and puts the resources in our way so that God's kingdom might encounter us where we are at. This is Christ at work in our lives and in the life of the world to bring about the good news of the gospel, to unveil it for it, to reveal it to us. When the kingdom of God is at hand, when the right moment has entered our lives, it produces a serious change in our hearts and minds. And suddenly we realize that the good news is for us. It is part of who we are, and we realize that the good news of the gospel is trustworthy and true for our lives. Not every question, not every doubt goes away, but we have a new confidence because the Spirit of Christ has given birth to faith within and among us. It is a new trust in God, a trust born again of water, faith born from above from the Spirit. Such a captivating trust does not lay dormant in our lives, but rather comes to life in us individually and corporately and blooms. We see the things of God anew, and love for God translates also into love for neighbor as well. Our words become our deeds. The old passes away. The new comes alive. We turn from the world of woe to the vocation of discipleship. We hear Christ call us. We leave our old selves behind. We follow the Christ who leads onward and upward. We are converted. We are transformed. We are renewed. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.